You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Newsroom podcast AfterBuzz. I'm Kristen Carroll and I'm filling in for Kelly right now. She's out of town, and we also wish Kendra, our other co-host, a great, you know, hello there. And but I do have my Will McAvoy over here, and also my Sloan Sabbath.
Oh, hello. Well, wow. Actually,
look at that.
Do we want to talk about Sloan being in the studio today?
We do have Sloan in the studio today with us. How are you doing? She's a little quiet, you guys.
Yeah. Our little cardboard cutout.
We're having technical difficulties.
Olivia,
her mic's not working, so she's only there for looks.
It's funny because Kristen actually has this Olivia Munn cutout in her bedroom at home.
That sounds weird. My boyfriend worked for Attack of the Show, and he thought it would be funny if I brought it with me here.
So. Well, it works. When we're down one host, we can bring in your Olivia Munn cutout just for, you know,
just in
to
case.
Fill the space.
Exactly. We'll just have her for her legs anyway.
We'll go, for her, go to her for the economic report.
Exactly. And you guys want to introduce yourself?
I'm John Comerford.
I'm Sarah Mendoza.
And let's get right into this. Episode 2, The Genoa Tip, is we start off we start off with the Romney trail, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Well, we want to talk about drones and what exactly is the Genoa Tip.
Yes.
So we find out a little bit more because Jerry wants to do this story, because if you guys remember, Cyrus West from the last episode had said, I've got this great tip for you. Mm-hmm. It's going to end presidencies and all this kind of stuff. So, of course, Jerry wants to show that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he wants to show that he's part of this group because Mackenzie obviously is quite partial to Jim, and who wouldn't be?
Right.
So he comes into her office, said, I want to talk about this Genoa tip, and he starts telling her all about it. And basically, it's based off of, I brought it up last week, with Operation Tailwind, and that was back in the 1970s, but I'll get that a little bit later. But what happened was Cyrus West says he has a source that can say that Pakistan was basically, They were hiding two of our troop members in there, and they wanted to go in and take them out. And how they did that was they used sarin gas.
Yeah,
and there were also civilians in this town.
So. And sarin gas is basically nerve gas. Mm-hmm. And to use that, obviously,
it's all kinds of
that would be a war crime.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so that's
and definitely would be a huge problem.
Just a tad.
Just a tad.
We might have something to answer for if we actually did that.
Exactly. So he wants to go and talk about this, and it was the Marine Corps that was in this village. And guys, I have to excuse me a little bit. It's my first time being the lead host.
That's okay.
If I sound a little nervous.
Yeah, that's right.
That's okay. So basically, Mackenzie says, make your calls. You know, you got to do the research. We have to prove this before we can actually report on it.
Yeah, they better prove this. And of course, as we know from last week, they maybe got a little shy of actually proving it. But that's a huge story. That's what I like about it. That's big stakes. I mean, the fact that our American military might have used sarin gas to help extract two troops and in the process did it and killed civilians, obviously innocent civilians, and everybody else involved. That could be a huge, huge changer.
Yeah, and what a story for them to break, because this is something that obviously nobody else has. And Jerry trusts this guy, and he wants to learn
Which
more.
Which is weird, because, I mean, in the last story, obviously Cyrus didn't do so well on air. So he seemed a little desperate to get back in good favor with Jerry. So I was going, well, Jerry, why? And, of course, Jerry was skeptical. Obviously, he said, look, I know how this sounds. It sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. So, but, you got to follow that up.
But
you have to.
I mean, didn't Jerry find it weird that right after he said, hey, you know, we can't bring you back, that all of a sudden Cyrus West has this story that he wants to leak to him or to this undercover.
Yeah.
Well, you think that's part of the reason he wanted to be on the show, was maybe to tell That's what I thought. Cyrus
wanted to be on the show because he wanted to talk to Jerry.
Yeah, we want to give him more publicity, but then he pulled him over really early on and obviously had this ready in mind. Right. You know, have me on the show. Hopefully they like me. And then I'm also going to pitch his story, and then I can be on the show a little bit more, too.
Yeah, okay.
But I feel like if their relationship, if there was already that relationship between Cyrus and Jerry where they share that kind of information, it would have come out in a conversation before, you know, like...
Unless he just got it. I mean, we don't know when he got the information.
Right.
So,
that's a possibility as
clearly they're going to do their homework, or at least they'll try to do as much of their homework as they can, because we know they fall short.
Well, and then we see Jerry throughout the whole rest of the episode. Yeah. He's trying to make this call.
Find Eric Sweeney.
Yeah, to find Eric Sweeney in S-W-E-E-N-E-Y. Just trying to get him on the phone the whole entire time.
You know, I thought it was great because a lot of times they'll actually show reporters, and that makes bad TV where you show reporters making all these phone calls and it just goes on because it's a lot of drudgery, try to get find people and do all that stuff, and that doesn't make good TV. But they just showed, every once in a while, they just show him and he's still making calls.
Yeah. I think that was perfect because I feel like sometimes they gloss over that fact and here are just the facts and we have these people.
Yeah.
But he's actually trying to reach out. It wasn't a source this time.
Right.
He had to find a source.
Yeah. I really like the way that the show interweaves those kind of things throughout where it's not like exhaustive, like you're like, oh my god, like you're hitting us over the head with this again, you know. It's just enough so you get it, and it's kind of humorous, and you don't feel like it's the same old thing. Or at least for me, that's how I feel about
it. They did a good pacing on that. And the same thing with the Troy Davis story. I know I'm jumping ahead, but just the way they did that, they give you this there, a little here, a little there, and then we finished with it and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. So they paced that out.
Yeah. And they give you all the information. Even for us, we had to go back a few times because they speak so quickly. We wanted to make sure we had everything down, especially for these big stories, because they are so many different little segments throughout this whole show, which makes it great and interesting. Mm-hmm. And you're attached to one thing, and then it's like, wait, now you're going Troy Davis, and now you're going to Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, so. And, you know, all that hard work Jerry was putting in didn't go to waste, so we think, because at the end of the episode, Christine, you can explain, but, like, you know, he found somebody
to
He found Eric Sweeney, finally.
And we can jump ahead to that with Eric Sweeney. He gets him on the phone with Mackenzie, trying to make her a believer now that she has somebody. And he goes to Eric on the phone, tell Mackenzie exactly what you just told me. And he's now a retired Marine, but he was actually there.
Right.
And he says, it was extraction. We used gas on civilians. It was sarin, and they're all dead.
Sarin, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Mackenzie can't believe it. You know,
I can't believe it. Right? This guy's got to be, he's got to lie, or he's got some ulterior motive, or he's not thinking clearly. And I don't believe it.
Right.
So.
But being Mackenzie, she still wants to, you know, check the source. And she says, where did you get your information? She just can't believe it's like first-hand info, like he was there, and yes, it happened.
Well, and for her, probably it seems so quickly because her day has gone by with other stories, and here comes Jerry back in, and here's my source.
How often do you hear a Marine special ops guy give classified information to a reporter? I mean, that's unheard of.
Especially, you know, saying his name, saying exactly where he was. It wasn't even like last season where the guy, I'm forgetting his name
right now,
ended up committing suicide. Mm-hmm. But he was the one. That even for him, he went through a couple of hoops and he just called and he wanted to be called Deep Throat and all this kind of stuff and met Charlie at the library. And this guy just on the phone, my name's Eric Sweeney.
Right. And so one would question his motives, like why would a Marine give classified information? And then but then you could argue, he doesn't agree with the tactics that the U.S. made.
And as a patriot, he has a duty to say, hey, look, because as a country, we decided we're not doing this. And then, and then in his estimation, we went against that and we used sarin gas on innocent civilians.
Well, and I have to question when he said he was retired. Was that of his own accord, or maybe something else went wrong?
He gave classified information before?
Or had other problems?
You got a whole Eric Snowden now, so who knows? But I'm sure we'll find. They're going to do their due diligence and find out more about his motivations and why he wants to do this. I'm sure we'll hear more about it next episode.
Sure, but that's what perplexes me, because we've had the we already flash forward in episode one, and we know that this whole. Sarin gas story turns out to be incorrect, and they're in trouble with it. There's legal issues now. So now you've got to say, like, why why, looking forward, did this Marine lie about it?
And, well, and if he lied or if he just got it wrong. Mm-hmm. Maybe he didn't lie. Maybe he really thought there was surrogate. I mean, who knows? I mean, that's what I'm saying. How it will unfold will be really interesting because obviously mm-hmm. there's a screw up somewhere.
Or here's another option. Maybe he's telling the truth, but the government has its hand, you know.
Yeah, maybe this is a whole cover up. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be a big cover up, too.
Well, and to go back to what Sorkin was saying about he followed Operation Tailwind,
right,
which happened back in the 1970s. Very similar. It was, you know, during
Vietnam. In Laos.
And the report was between CNN and Time, and they did an article and they did a segment on it on the show mm-hmm. called The Valley of Death. And it was the same thing. The claims was an operation was to eliminate a group, except they had a group of Americans uh-huh. that had turned mm-hmm. on them.
Oh, okay.
And the enemy was in this village.
So they weren't fighting on Americans. So they were fighting the Viet Cong side. So they were Americans fighting against America.
That's what the claim was.
That was the claim. Okay.
But while they were doing that, they were hiding in this village. And it also killed over 100 men, women, and children. Uh-huh. And the CNN producers who did this story, April Oliver and Jack Smith, were both fired mm-hmm. because of it later on. And their sources were also like this. They were part of it.
Soldiers?
Yeah. They were part of, one of them was also part of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But
wow.
their sources were older, and so as a character witness, they were thrown out because I believe one of them even said that they had, like, mental health issues.
So it proved, mm-hmm. that story proved to be false, is what you're saying?
Well, the Pentagon got involved
uh-huh.
and did their own investigation on it, and they said that it was a false report.
Okay.
And so they retracted the story, and basically, eventually, everybody who was part of that story
got
ended
locked.
Up getting laid off.
Wow.
Now, I don't think they can do that here, because we wouldn't have... Now,
no,
season
that,
three hasn't been picked up,
right.
but I'm assuming it
but
will
I think
be.
That'll be fascinating, though. Okay, how are they going to unravel this? Like you're saying, all right, did he lie? Did he get the facts wrong?
Yeah.
How do they, you know, is it a cover? What are they... I mean, that's great.
I'm good really stuff. Interested
hey,
to
the
see.
The show has us guessing. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
And I love that another big story was the drones. So
yes.
we're back on this drones topic. And
all of a sudden Sloan's becomes relevant
drones.
Because now it's killed an American citizen.
Yes. And that actually was a true story.
Yes,
unlike
it was.
Genoa, which is based off of something, I was actually reading about this earlier because it caused greater problems, but it was what they called him, the Anwar El, I'm going to mispronounce this, A-W-L-A-K-I. And he was supposed to be part...
Milwaukee, I think.
Milwaukee.
I think so. I'm not sure.
Was a high-profile Al-Qaeda leader.
Right.
And so these drones had been following him mm-hmm. and ended up killing him. The thing was, though, is that he's a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
So you, as in U.S. law, mm-hmm. you can't be tried of treason without a trial.
Yeah, exactly.
And this guy
can't
be found of treason
yeah.
without a trial. And
yeah.
this guy was found of
killed.
Treason and then killed by
Judge,
a drone.
Judge, jury, and executioner.
So yeah. also very controversial.
Yeah. But apparently there's a memo that says we can do that. Or that should say the president can
yeah,
do that.
Yeah,
the famous memo, which we don't. So that's what they're fighting. But we'll at least put that out there for the public so that we can have that on in the public trust. So it's not public trust, but in the public arena so we can discuss it.
And I have to think I think that's very important. And Charlie is trying to convince Will to go towards this story. Mm-hmm. But Will,
of course, no,
he's got so many problems right now. People think he's vying for terrorism. Yeah.
He is just, he cares so much after all this backlash. He's just caring so much about what people think about him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's being so careful with his words and, you know, not challenging too much. If there's anything that might make him seem like he's against America, he's not going to do it at all.
What do you guys think about that? Do you think he should take the story? Do you think he?
Well, I do. Yeah,
careful?
Of course I do. But
Charlie
you know,
thinks he does. We
absolutely
think he
I think
does.
You should take the story because I think we should take the story in real life. But
right.
That's what I like about the conflict that they've given for Will. He's got this huge insecurity about losing his audience because he, in his own idea, he is nothing without that audience. And what you know, because if he doesn't have an audience, he doesn't. He's nothing. He just it doesn't
well, it's
cease
be
to
really
have any
hard.
Relevance.
Yeah, to look at, we saw him looking at websites during
yeah,
the entire show,
I mean,
right?
It's like, oh my God.
Snooze night.
Yeah, yes, snooze night.
What was I effing hate Will McAdoosh.
McAdoosh, exactly. And, you know, I've got to wonder now, and I'm making a huge leap here, so just
leap away.
Follow me or not.
Okay.
Because I'm wondering if any of that is Sorkin going, because there's so many people that are, not so many, there are some boisterous and loud people who are haters of the show or haters of Sorkin and stuff like that. And I'm just wondering if any of that was him, you know, looking up why they hate Newsnight and stuff like that.
Yes, yeah, so I bet it's Aaron Sorkin sitting there going, Aaron Sorkin hate.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, I mean, there are a lot of people, for whatever reason, they hate the show, and or they hate Sorkin, or they want this show to be different. And I'm just wondering if he had that own experience and
shall
he used it for what?
Shall I say this?
Sure.
Haters gon' hate. It's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. I think they're just trolling, basically. We should get Neil on this case right now.
I also think that, yes, Will's got his insecurities, but I also think he cares about the network. He cares about all the work and the years that Charlie has put into the network. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to let them down either. And he sees that what he was doing was kind of leading them down that path.
Yeah, I think that was great. Again, I love the way they put those things. He's in such conflict about everything. Is on one hand, he really wants that audience. He doesn't want to lose them. On the other hand, you can see when that righteousness comes up and that justice, a sense of justice, you know, he can't save the Troy Davis, or for whatever reason he lets that ball go by. Mm-hmm. He can't do anything about the drones, but Neil's in prison. I can do something about that. He has the big tirade and stuff like that. So you know he's got that sense and that of what he should be doing, but he's pulled back by the fact that he really doesn't want to lose that audience. So I love that struggle he always has. It's a great struggle.
And I actually loved that you could see that he was having it, just because Jeff Daniels is a great actor and even nominated, which we'll talk about in our news and gossips section. But he goes up there and it bugs him. So he takes this argument against the police officer. And this police officer suddenly goes, "Are you okay, man?"
Yeah. Well, recalling last year when he had his, meltdown.
Right.
That's what he's recalling. So.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, no, they flashed on him when he looked at websites, or when he was looking, when Will was looking online at all his.
I thought you meant the police officer was thinking that.
What I'm saying is, in those things, if you read them, because we stopped and
read
them.
His drug problem.
Yeah, they were talked about his adult. Mm-hmm. I think the cop was flashing back as, like, oh, yeah, this is the guy on TV that had a meltdown. So that's why, I think that's why he asked him, "Are you feeling all right?"
You know what? That's what I love about Will McAvoy, though. Like, he cares about what people think, but not to the point where he's going to let Neil sit in jail any longer, you know, for trying to do the right thing and for working for their network and trying to get the story.
But obviously he went and got Neil, because it was the easiest one. He could have done something about Troy, but chose not to. He let that pitch go by. And that's why I think Mac was saying that he's a coward.
Yeah, spilled the drink on him and everything.
Exactly.
He's gotten a lot of drinks.
So
in
what
his
do you
face.
Think? Is he a coward or is he a hero?
Well, we want to hear what you guys think with it too. Please comment. We didn't have any comments last week. We love hearing from you guys, and positive or negative. No. Do you guys think Will's a coward?
No, positive is good. Positive.
We prefer positive. But
you can hate watch us too.
No. What I really would really like is, I like it when you tell us what you guys are thinking. Like, what do you think about Will's struggle? Do you like it? Do you hate it? That kind of thing. I would love to hear what you guys say about the show. Not about us, because, you know, really, this is about the show.
I love talking about Newsroom to people, so I was really kind of hoping that somebody said, what did you guys think on this, and what did you think on that? We love hearing from you guys.
I mean, aren't you so happy that Maggie and Don are split up? I mean, come on, let's be honest. I mean,
we need to vote on that, how many people are excited about that breakup.
Exactly. who thinks Hallie and Jim are going to hook up? I mean, come on.
I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, do you guys think that, too? We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. Tweet us. You can.
I know, because I know people are listening. We saw our downloads. We've got lots of people listening.
Hey, last week
we want to hear you.
AfterBuzz TV got over 24 million downloads in the week.
Wow,
24 million. That's not because of you out there. So thank you very much for that. Go to iTunes, rate and comment, tell a friend. By all means, be part of the conversation and participate in this, so that we get more interest. With more interest, we'll have more chance at having celebrities come, writers come, producers, etc. And that's what we'd like to bring to you.
And one of the things we also want to hear from you guys that I miss is our first topic is our favorite Sorkinism of the night. So what was your guys' favorite Sorkinism?
You know,
please let us know.
But I have to say, This isn't really an actual Sorkinism, but I'll say it anyway because it's not a line. I just love when Sorkin does this. I mean, all this frenetic pace and all these jumping around in storylines, and then he stops and he does that thing between Charlie and Will about the first time Will goes on the air, 9/11, and it just cut right through all the craziness, and then it was completely right there, heart, emotion, everything, and it really got me, and I'm going, damn it,
I did it again. I agree. That was my favorite Sorkinism of the night. So. Was he? Will said, "I'm going to be with you all night. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be right here."
Mine as he's right talking at, to the audience.
Yeah, mine was just before that when Charlie said, "I'm out of options."
Right. So Charlie tells Will, "I have faith in you. I believe in you." And Will asks him why.
Yeah.
And that's when he answers, "Well, I'm out of options here."
That whole section was really great,
Charlie.
And it was sad to see Will in the background watching that because he is such an American. And, you know, as we saw in the last episode of the first season, they call him he's the greater fool, which actually, as Sloan said, isn't such a bad thing. It's somebody who has faith in the long run, and this whole country was based off of the greater fool.
That's right.
So,
but I know what you mean because this show is so fast-paced with the dialogue and everything that's happening in the newsroom and all the crazy news stories that they're covering. And then when Sorkin does slow it down to really get to the heart of the relationship between the characters, I don't even have... See? Did you like that pause I just did?
Okay.
Did you guys feel that?
It was an emotional... Right.
I know we're going to get to the other things, but real quick, I just want to go off on that because I was listening to a report by reporters talking about this, and there's a lot of news people in the media and stuff who hate watch the show because it doesn't represent their understanding of their experience being in a newsroom and stuff like that. And I'm going, I don't think you understood that Sorkin set out from the beginning. He said it in many interviews that this is an homage to the way news used to be done, in a sense, the way he remembers it, the way he liked it. Not the way it necessarily is done now, but how it could be done and how it was done. Mm-hmm. So they hate the fact that, you know, nobody uses highlighters. Nobody uses highlighters now. And I'm going, you're missing the point.
If you can check, I've got my highlighters
right here.
I know,
exactly. And she's in the media. And I know people, anyway. But speaking to what you were just saying is that This is an homage to the way news was, the way that Sorkin remembers it, the way he liked it, and the way it could be. Because right now we just have streams of information and data, not necessarily any context. And what he's trying to say is, without context, data is meaningless. It's just info.
It's very McKenzie of you. Is America the best country? Why is America the best country in the world? It's not, but it can be.
There you go. That's right. And
same
that's
with
the
news.
But that's the long view. That's so, yeah. No.
And speaking of news stories that I was going off, I was going to go off your emotion there, Sarah, is Don. We see him very passionate about a news story. And I don't think I've seen this kind of emotion.
I've never seen it.
And Don, I think part of it's maybe a little breakup and he's looking for something to get involved in.
Yeah. This seems like real heartfelt emotion, whereas with Maggie, he's forcing it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm not exactly sure which one of you, but we were posing the question, one of you did, it's like, what's the personal connection between he and Troy? Because it felt like it wasn't just a miscarriage of justice that he wanted to write. It felt like it was personal.
That's what I was asking you guys, because it does seem like there's a passion behind the story, but what is the root of that passion? He's pushing so hard for this. You guys were saying that he mentioned that he was writing letters and getting really involved and not,
so much passion that he was willing to out one of the justices and out his family. He put his his house on Google. I mean, the whole thing, that's crazy.
You can't do that. Even Will said, I hope you weren't, I thought it was just a joke that you were threatening to expose the swing vote witness. And
he was just throwing out all the rules from your, no more journalistic integrity.
But what do you do when you're in that? You know that you've got a huge mic in front of you. If you can get the word out there, you might be able to save a guy who may be innocent, or in your mind is innocent. Yeah. And you can't do anything.
He's been following this story for 9 years.
Yeah.
So I think also when we do follow a story or a person, or as I've said before, I'm in entertainment news, so sometimes you feel an attachment.
You're invested
to those people that you watch all the time. I mean, who knows how much footage he had to go through for this. I mean, if he's been following this for 9 years, it was probably one of his first stories.
That could be it.
Very well.
And you remember that.
I would have liked that they had explored that a little bit. Maybe they will, but it would have been nice to see if there was a personal connection, what was it? Mm-hmm. It would have been nice to see. Mm-hmm.
And did you guys actually follow the Troy Davis you know, execution. It only happened last year, slightly with it. And it's, I was reading up on it today because I read a summary of the episode and I kind of wanted to get an idea of it. And it's crazy because he's right. All of these people who testified, you know, and said that Troy had done it, but he had been in jail for 20 years. All of a sudden they recanted everything. They never actually interviewed another key witness who was there, who was said to have been the actual shooter of this cop. And the cop, it wasn't an out and out fight, really.
Yeah.
He was shot twice and dead. The cop didn't even shoot back. It was in a Burger King parking lot, and there was a scuffle with a homeless person there. And, you know, when you have conflicting witnesses, you really should go through and redo it again.
Yeah, and again, Will's making great points, too, because, no, he had his due process. I mean, that's all the law requires is that there's due process. I would agree, though, that given all this other stuff, you would think that, wait a minute, okay, maybe, because just the idea that we would kill somebody who may be innocent, I just don't get that. I get that they've had, their appeal and everything, but how can you not see those facts and not go, okay, we may want to rethink this one?
Especially, even rethinking, and I was reading, somebody made a good point that I thought would be great that would have also backed up the fact that, yes, he was tried under a jury of his peers and they found him guilty. So I could definitely see Will as...
Yeah, he makes great arguments.
It's a totally great argument. And the thing that I read was interesting was that instead of maybe doing an execution for this particular guy, because there is so much question around the verdict, maybe don't kill him, keep him in jail.
Yeah.
What do you guys... back to the whole death penalty idea. Obviously, some of them, there's all this kind of evidence that this is the killer. But when you don't have that
Then we can debate that because it's always without the possibility of parole. So just so that we don't kill somebody who's innocent.
And for me, it's just so interesting to watch, that debate within, we're debating it now. And we're not... we're not in hard news.
No.
But, the journalist, Don, he's reporting it. He's putting out the facts. But he also goes through the same struggle as we do. And in his case, he's like, I want to do something about this, But there's lines that shouldn't be crossed when you're the media. And there's lines that you should cross, maybe. Just seeing that struggle within each of one of these characters has been so interesting for me for the series.
And how he was told at the very end of the episode that they had to go in for the breaking news.
Yeah.
And even Mackenzie came up and, patted him on the shoulder.
Yeah, it's almost like they're trying to humanize Don a little bit, give him a little bit more depth.
Don's a human?
what I mean?
They're probably because there was so much hate for him in season one.
It could be. Maybe somebody was looking at his reactions to him, I should say.
Yeah, the actor who plays him probably said, I don't want to be yelled at on the street anymore.
You see the hate mail I'm getting? I'm getting worse mail than Will McAvoy, for crying out loud.
I like that we're getting more of that from him.
It just rounds out his character, gives him more depth. And
also, with Maggie done, and I think it's done for good, we needed to see something else happening with him.
I thought that was maybe another reason why he was attached to this, that even though he didn't love Maggie, it was still a huge part of his life, and letting go of something else and
finding. And he's a little burned, so he wants to put that energy somewhere. So.
Yeah. Slight anger.
Yeah,
so he's angry.
Maggie's working out, and Don's chasing a story.
Yeah, there you go.
And another person chasing a story would be Neil, who is now arrested. Neil was great.
He did some hard time, guys.
He's not really chasing it so much as
hour.
They call him.
Yeah.
You know?
He did some time.
Wave your arms so I can see you. I mean, that's nice.
Yeah. He didn't even know that he was about to go.
No, he didn't. No.
Well, and that girl tricked him.
Yeah.
To coming out.
Radiohead.
Yeah, Radiohead's here. He's like, where is it? She should have actually said Bigfoot was there, and then he would have gotten really excited.
Right. Then he would have brought the cameras and been fully prepared.
Occupy Wall Street brings Bigfoot. No, and he was there, and
got
what
some great footage.
Smart move.
Yeah,
great. He became the story almost.
Almost.
Yeah. And it got him out of jail.
Yeah.
Thanks to Will.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And now that he's been in jail for that whole hour, boy, has he got a lot to talk about.
I just like that we're not just seeing Neil
at the
typing
computer.
At the keyboard.
I know, exactly.
every episode. He's actually out in the field now, whether if it's by trickery or on purpose.
He's just like him out from behind the screen.
But he's doing something now. He's actually making moves towards where he wants to be in that newsroom. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think he's still doing the blog as well?
Oh, yeah.
Moving on to somebody else.
Better be.
No, I'm very interested to see how that all plays out later on with it. And we want to hear how you guys think how that'll play on with Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah.
Do you think he goes back?
Oh, yeah. They're playing that storyline out. Absolutely.
I think this is his reporter, his break as a reporter, this story.
And I also think that Sorkin has a slight agenda. I think he wants to tell more of the Occupy Wall Street than was actually told in the mainstream media.
Mm. One could argue that. Mm-hmm.
I could definitely see that.
Fine. I think that I always like to see the story behind the story. I think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And then let's get to the fun stuff.
Oh,
the relationships. The fun stuff.
Okay.
Oh, is it really fun though? It was a little bit.
Yeah, that was fun. I thought it was fun.
I thought
you guys are traipsing around.
I was thinking more of Sloan and Maggie in the whole.
I was thinking of the heartbreak of
laundry mat.
Oh, yeah. You say relationships, I think heartbreak.
Yeah,
that's true. And Lisa's automatically back, which was great.
That's called projection.
Hey. Are you projecting my projection?
Yeah, exactly.
So Maggie, with the video, another New Yorker loses it, now is up to 1,118 hits.
Wow.
Which I rewatched last week's episode because it was something we brought up. And at that point, it only had 459.
Oh, so they're tracking that. Nice. Okay.
So I'm keeping an eye on how many hits that has just for it. And so it's up really high, and she's trying to get rid of this video.
Right.
So she's done her detective skills, we'll call them. That's what I always call it if I say I find something on Facebook. It's a detective skill, not creeping or stalking or anything like that.
I just love, though, how she exhausts every single option of possibly trying to get it down there. She explores privacy laws and copyright with Sex and the City music. And then she thinks about Foursquare because that's where the video poster might show where she is. She's at, right? Where her location is. And she finds her where.
And YouTube is so strict, by the way. I don't know if you guys have ever had a video shutdown. I made a parody one once, and it was a music in the background. Uh-huh. And it was I forgot which one it was, but it was something music company has shut you down. Go. What? Right.
There's ways around that. Anything. There's actually ways around that, Kristen, that I can tell you.
Okay,
We'll talk after.
avoid
inside
that.
Info.
No, but she finds out who this poster is, finds them on Foursquare, is tracking
but
her
not a
on
creepy way.
Foursquare. No, she's very, she's not dangerous.
Just in a Maggie
all.
Way.
Well, and we know and love Maggie, and, well, love hate, I guess. Some people do not like Maggie at all.
I love Maggie.
Oh, no, I wasn't calling you.
No.
I was reading comments online earlier, and a lot of people.
Well, she's a really frustrating character because you want to, every once in a while, stop being, just smarten up for a second. No. Yeah.
But that means we care about her.
Yeah. Yes. If we didn't care, it would be Dawn. Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry.
Did I say that? Oh, gosh.
So she goes to, she finds a Foursquare. Sloan wants to come with to help her out. And they end up at this laundromat in the middle of Queens with Erica. The poster.
What a freak show she is. If you, in a kind of a tame way, but just a little odd, little offbeat, right?
Yeah. Well, I thought it was hilarious that because there's a lot of people who are like this, where they care about their Instagram follower numbers, their likes on Facebook, their YouTube views.
That's me, by the way. That's all I care about.
Yeah. John is all over the social
John
media.
John is all
that's
over.
It. That's it.
Yeah.
That was sarcasm.
I'm social media
He doesn't
boy.
Even have a Twitter handle.
Nope.
So, yeah, I just thought it was funny because it was kind of making fun of those people that were like,
her whole world is the
Sex and the City
blogging from them using the character's voice. I say, what is that?
Well, it's not fan fiction.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I'm just telling my life experiences, but telling it from the character.
Yeah, there you go.
I love what she said.
She's so
serious
about it.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure
a part of this now.
She's like, I'm
And she's so, oh, my God. And I'm sure, there are plenty of people do that. And I'm sure they derive a lot of pleasure from it. But I'm just going, what? Mm-hmm. Does that exist? Is that a real thing? I mean, apparently.
Well, I think it's funny also how Sloan thought, I know how to get to this girl. I know how I'm going to get her to delete the video.
And that didn't work.
No, it backfired on her. But how nice, do we think it's not? What is Sloan's motive for helping Maggie?
Because she wants to get, Maggie and Jim together.
So that
Dawn.
So that
she can go with Dawn. Of course, man.
She's kind of annoying.
Yeah, that? She's being...
It's kind of annoying me.
Annoying you? Why?
Yes,
is she doing that?
It's annoying me. Okay.
Why wait, wait. Let's have Sloane speak for herself for a minute.
What do you have to say about this?
She knows that Sarah's right.
Playing it very close to the vest. Tight lips.
Sarah is very
cool. Okay, why do you find it funny?
Okay, I still like Sloane very much. I love her character. Okay, but... on one side, she's helping Maggie, but it's only because she's trying to help herself.
Okay, but do you think it's really only? Because I think it's a little bit of both. Obviously, I think she's trying to help herself, clearly, but I do think she's trying to help Maggie.
Well, I think she is trying to help Maggie.
Yeah,
but okay, for me, like, if my girlfriend was with somebody... Mm-hmm. And they went sour, mm-hmm. and they broke up. Mm-hmm. There is no way I would touch him at all, ever. Mm-hmm. That's just weird for me. It's a loyalty thing.
Mm-hmm. But they're not that close of friends. I mean, I think they're friendly co-workers.
But then don't make the steps of trying to make yourself close now. That's just weird to me. Like, I would not... Okay, let's say if I...
Well, that's... Yeah. I mean, I get it. I understand it.
Yeah.
But maybe she's just making sure that, okay, she really... They're broken up. She really... They weren't right for each other anyway, and I want to make sure she doesn't have feelings for her, and maybe she's doing that. I don't know.
And Sloane said in season one...
I don't know. I'm even sorry I'm having this discussion. Go ahead.
And Sloane said in season one that she... When everybody thought that Will had cheated on Mackenzie, she goes, hey, we have something in common. I had somebody who cheated on me, too.
Oh,
so she's obviously accustomed to heartache.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of it is, yes, let's make sure Don is completely single, and then I don't have to feel awkward around him either because his girlfriend's playing patty cake with him in the newsroom. So I think that's part of it. But I think the other part is
I would avoid the situation completely.
How much fun would that be in a newsroom?
Doesn't make a good HBO series.
That's really ethical behavior. And how much fun is that to watch?
That's a family sitcom.
Okay, you're right.
Not HBO.
Okay.
Maybe I should start thinking about how my moral fiber.
Don't
like, maybe I should be.
What makes great TV?
Maybe I should be okay with
really
those kind of things.
Smart professional people who are screw ups in their personal lives. That's what makes great TV.
It really does.
That's true.
So they thought they successfully get this video removed.
Right.
But that doesn't tend to be the case.
Not so much.
I don't know about you guys, but when she went to go see Lisa,
yeah.
I actually didn't suspect anything.
Me neither.
She's like, oh, do you want a hug?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's really sweet.
And then
it was kind of a very Godfather moment. Like, he was going to kiss her on the cheek or something.
Yeah. It was.
It came out of nowhere.
Fredo.
Like,
I know it was you.
I thought she was going to be like, come out with a knife and stab her in that second because it came out of nowhere.
That's Game of Thrones. So that's a different HBO show.
As soon as she said, you want a hug, I went, that's not good.
At first I was like, oh, that was nice. And then the hug was a little too long. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. I'm gonna love that Lisa's back, though.
I always
like her as a character. Mm-hmm. And they gave her more Sorkin-esque dialogue.
Oh, my God. It was like, wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah.
She's been hanging out with Jim too long.
That's why. I mean, she was like really on it and sharp.
Yeah.
And if you're that pissed off, you know, I was going, oh, come on. Let her stumble a little bit because she was so measured and so specific. And I would go, go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say she was probably rehearsing what she was going to say to Maggie that whole time waiting for her coming home.
I know. And usually when you do that, at some point, they go off script. The person you're talking to goes off script. And you say, oh, wait a minute. That's not how it went in my head. So at some point, it starts out great. And then it goes, you know, and you have to. You know, that's what I'm saying. I just wanted to stumble. It was a little too perfect.
A little too perfect?
A little too perfect for me. I liked it.
Don't get me wrong.
I thought it was a great scene. You needed the scene, and I liked the scene. I just go, have it be a little bit messy at some point because they're not always that. When have you ever had a situation like that where it was that precise?
Especially for that long. I think if she had a couple of sentences, maybe, and then you could get that right, and then you just run out of the room before you mess up anything
else.
I've done that before.
Exactly, because then why didn't I say this? And then you want to run back in and say it. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it was, for Lisa's character, the perfect way to prove that. Because her thing is, her insecurity is that a girl like her couldn't get a guy like Jim.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. That she wasn't smart enough. That's her whole insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
What a perfect way to disprove that in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I I agreed with most of what she said, except for the fact that I don't think Maggie was having Lisa with Jim just to keep
park her there.
Yeah,
park him there.
Park him there so that he wouldn't go anywhere else.
Right.
Knowing that, I think that was wrong. I don't think that was Maggie's intention at all.
I agree.
I think Maggie only pushed that because she wanted to convince herself that Don was right for her.
Mm.
And I don't think it was, oh, I'll just, when I'm done with Don,
he's
not
right
going to want Lisa. He's right there. I don't think that was, I don't think that was her motivation at all. I don't think Maggie even thinks that way,
to be perfectly honest. I don't think she has that kind of ability to think that far ahead.
And then all of Maggie's stuff, too, that's a malicious thought. Yeah. None of Maggie's intentions are ever malicious. We're talking about the girl who hid underneath the bed while her current boyfriend, you know, did stuff with his ex-girlfriend.
Right.
So,
I agree with you guys completely. I think Maggie was just trying to convince herself so bad that she wasn't into Jim, maybe, and that she was trying to, you know, so she could work it out with Don. I don't, like what you said, don't think she was thinking about the other thing.
But, and really, really briefly, because we're running out of time here, I want to hit on the fact that, so after this whole argument, she gets the story about Africa. She has all her facts in a line. She goes up to Mackenzie, and her and Gary Cooper are going to head over to Africa, even though later on they find out that there were five killed and I think it was 120.
150.
Injured.
Dangerous situation.
Yay, let's go. So we're getting a hint of where she might be headed.
Yeah. We could see why she would do drastic changes to her hair.
That'd be the least of the changes I would expect. My goodness.
Well, and I got to wonder what happens to Gary as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're out there, and I don't think, I mean, we haven't seen him in the future yet.
Yeah, we haven't
Maybe
seen that
something
yet,
happens to him
it's
out there.
It's such a scary reality that journalists actually embark on those kind of dangerous stories to, you know,
to
inform the public.
Yeah.
They go there willingly.
Yeah.
So I'm weirdly excited to see where that goes.
Is the only reason why they go to these places because they've had a bad breakup? I'm just asking. that has to happen.
That's how anybody goes on a weird trip.
So if I'm a news executive.
I'd go to Hawaii if I had a bad breakup.
So if I'm a news executive, I wait for one of my people to have a bad breakup. Hey, you're going to be embedded with a military convoy. In the middle of Middle East.
I think it's just like the perfect storm. Like it's just like the right pieces for that kind of thing. She's an ambitious young woman in the newsroom who wants
to be important and seen
a producer maybe one day like Mackenzie. She's done all the research, and what better time to go than a time that where she wants to start anew? And why does she want to start anew? Because something just ended.
Yeah.
Exactly. So let's get into some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Sarah, you want to start us off with some ratings?
Sure. Let's talk about ratings.
Woo.
So, all you hate watchers, in your face. No. So, the premiere for season 2 was actually bigger than the season 1 premiere.
Nice.
Season 1 premieres was, the season 1 premiere had 2.1 million viewers. And this season, it was 2.2 million.
All right.
So, up, I believe, 4%. Now, that's a little less, though, than what the series ended with last season.
Mm-hmm.
The series finale last season was 2.3 million. So, a little down, but still above the first season premiere.
All right.
Still a float.
Pretty good.
I think that's enough to get them to a next season.
Yeah, and we'll see, like, after this episode, we're going to start seeing where the trend goes. If it's going to go higher, if it's going to go lower. Because season premieres, I feel like, are always pretty big.
Yeah.
And other news I have here, Emmy nominations came out.
There you go.
Newsroom is nominated for 3 of them.
Woo.
One for Outstanding Main Title Design, which I'm not exactly sure what that means, but they don't broadcast that one. And the big ones, of course, Outstanding Guest Actress in a Drama Series. Congrats to Jane Fonda.
Mm-hmm.
This is her 3rd nomination, but she's had one win before that. And, of course, lead actor Jeff Daniels. Newsroom. Will McAvoy. He's got some stiff competition, this year.
What competition he's got?
He's got Bryan Cranston, Hugh Bonneville, Downton Abbey, Damian Lewis, Homeland, who's won the last couple of years. So is Bryan Cranston. Kevin Spacey, House of Cards, who...
Yeah.
I love that show.
Yeah,
you
good.
Do that show on here.
Yeah,
you still need to get on that.
And Jon Hamm, Mad Men.
Of course, right? Yeah,
Jon Hamm
that's
hasn't
a good
won
roster of people.
An Emmy yet, I don't believe, but he did win the Golden Globe once. So it'll be kind of... That'll be it.
Anybody,
category.
I mean, that's an amazing grouping right there.
Right.
Any one of them could
win
this.
It's huge.
Yeah.
So that's it. What do you guys have
for... Well, this isn't really... Well, it's kind of news. So one of the articles in the news this last week was about the storyline that they're running and why Sorkin has chosen to do this over thing about having doing news stories that have already happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the discussion about that. And the people in the news media right now hate it, or at least I should say some of them hate it because they're hate watchers. because they go, why are you doing news stories that we already know the end to? It's that there's no mystery to that. And again, I think they missed the whole point, and this is what I wanted to discuss with you. The whole point of him doing that is that he wants the audience to be ahead of the characters. So we already know the news story, so to speak. So we're not really paying attention to the actual story so much as how the characters.
You mean the news story?
The news story, because we already know that story. Mm-hmm. What he wants is you to be ahead of the characters so that we are watching these characters navigate that story. So you're sticking with that storyline rather than the actual news story that's already occurred. And I'm going, that makes perfect sense in a dramatic situation. It's like, but the news media people that hate it can't stand it because they're so hell-bent on news that they just want. And I go, the other thing is, you're making a show that's 4 to 8 weeks ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really make a topical show when that show won't air for another 8 weeks.
Yep.
It'll no longer be topical 8 weeks later.
Right.
Well, and
this is not a news show, right?
Exactly. It's like, what are you thinking?
Like, I don't watch The Newsroom to see what Aaron Sorkin's political stand is on an issue out there. You know, I watch it for the writing. It's entertaining. The characters. That's what I care about.
Yeah, and I think what's happening is that I go, people who don't like it are wanting it to be something that it was never intended to be and can't accept it for what it is. It's not a news show.
Do we think that's why the main overarching storyline for season two is this fabricated story, Genoa, so that they can't have that argument?
I think I think he's responding to that in some way to try to have. I also think it's to show, look, here's why. If you can get this, you'll understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is why. So that you, rather than being worried about what the actual news story is that already occurred, you can really concentrate on how these characters navigated this world.
Because
that's where he is good.
Well, I think it's hard sometimes when you see a story, if you are in news, and maybe it's easy for Sorkin to handle it.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, hindsight is 20/20.
Sure.
So I think that's another problem that maybe people who are interested in news go, well, that's not how it happens in our office.
Right. But
it's easy
but
to do.
But you didn't have cameras watching that in your office.
Right. And also this is not real. this is a fabrication. This is not a real newsroom. We're not watching real news stories being reported in breaking news fashion.
Right.
You know, this is a look back and seeing how the people around that story dealt with it.
Absolutely.
And that's what it is. It's always what it's always been. That's the way it was designed. That's the way it's executed. So it's like, you know, either get on board or don't. But, you know, stop wanting it to be something that it's not, was never intended to be.
They just like drama.
But how do you really feel, John?
Well,
actually, really quick, one prediction each. Miss Mendoza.
Oh, damn.
Oh, my gosh.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Sloane, Dawn, together, against my will.
Wow, really?
I won't for now.
I'll go with another relationship thing.
Okay.
I think Hallie with Jim.
Oh,
now,
gosh,
I don't
yeah.
think forever, but I think that'll be a bump in the road.
Sure.
And I think I said something earlier. I think something's going to happen to Gary Cooper with Maggie in Africa when they go.
Well, clearly something will happen to Maggie. What it will be, we don't know. But
yeah.
I love the Gary Cooper aspect of that.
Just because that would give her an even more personal aspect that she still wanted to go and he was a little hesitant but kind of wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it would make sense if we got to learn a little bit more about his character and then something happened to him. And that would really affect Maggie, and another reason why she would change so much, besides just if they got held captive or something. I don't know.
I hope we don't see less of Maggie now that she's going to Africa. You know what I'm saying? Like, how far are they going to follow her into the trenches
of
Africa?
Well, they'll do like what they're doing with Jim. Because, you know, Jim's out of the studio right now, too, and we're following his story pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And, John, what's your prediction?
Well, you kind of... I was thinking the same thing as you.
Sorry. Great minds.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say they're going to have that almost happen, but he's going to say no at the last minute. Jim's going to say, no, I don't want to do this, because he's really going to be thinking about Maggie. And when he gets back thinking that, you know, he'll have that start up again, she'll be gone. So that'll be the wrinkle there.
I like that, too.
That's a big wrinkle.
All right. Thanks, you guys, for tuning in to another After Buzz. You can find me, Kristen Carroll, on Twitter. And Sarah?
You can find me on Twitter at Sarah with an H Mendoza.
You can't find me on the internet anywhere, but you can find me in Serial Buddies. There you go. But please, you say it.
Oh, you can find him on Serial Buddies, which is available on iTunes now for download. So be sure to do that. John is
Thank you very much.
Amazing.
You are hilarious in that film.
Well, it's very kind of you to say. Thank you.
So, again, thanks again. Please give us your comments. We want to hear from you. So, have a good
thanks,
one.
Thanks, guys.
See you next
time.
Week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.